Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite with Tom Jackson. First of all, Tom, I just want to say I appreciate the fact that a family man like you will take time out to join us. I know that those times with your family are incredibly important for you.
Thank you, Nick. I'm glad to be on.
I appreciate it, buddy. Well, listen, we talked to Michael Strahan about the sort of clinic he put on, a lecture he put on with the media yesterday with Michael Wilbon, and I wanted your comment as Michael applied it to those coaches in the NBA that have a way of making sure that it does not impact the team and some that really become victim to it. Here's Michael Wilbon.
As a matter of fact, they tended to understand they could use the media to form some of the messages they wanted to get, not only to the general public, but to their players. And the Lakers have done this for years with Phil Jackson, and it hasn't, you know, it really didn't hurt them. Even when Shaq and Kobe were going at it, Phil managed to use it also to the team's, you know, usually to the team's advantage. So I think there are various ways of doing this. Bill Parcells has done it his way and been successful. Again, as I mentioned, Phil Jackson has done it a completely different way and been successful his way.
What do you think about that in the NFL itself? Besides Parcells, who are the coaches that don't allow the media, especially in New York? It's got to be tough on Coughlin. We know that this is a desperation game for them. But who are the coaches that you admire for how they basically teach their players on how to handle the media?
Well, you know, I think that Bill Parcells gives his team a little more free rein than he used to. I think that actually Coach Belichick is probably the guy who has found the easiest method of dealing with the media, which is basically he's the guy who is the voice of the organization, and you don't hear a lot of voices other than that voice. So at least the message that he sends is clear, and it is singular. You will not hear conflicting voices very often. Now that's not to say that I have not heard any. You know, Tom Brady was disappointed when they allowed Deion Branch to get away. You know, Richard Seymour was a little bit disappointed, you know, that he was sat down in the middle of a game. So, you know, his comment afterwards about, you know, being outcoached. But you seldom hear that stuff with that ball club. I think of Herm Edwards, who's pretty open as a head coach in the NFL, tends to be very honest. Oftentimes wears his emotions on his sleeve, which is a kind of a totally different, you know, way of doing things. But still, I always say that he's as upbeat a person as you will ever meet in life. So when Herm, you know, says it, you tend to believe it. And I think that goes for his players, the media, and anybody else listening to him. So I think there's a varying number of ways to do it. But, you know, I can say that there's different ways. Coach Belichick feels safest not letting a lot of people speak. Coach Edwards feels very comfortable letting people speak and understanding that via him the message is likely to be very positive. And Coach Parcells has a way of dealing with the media that it certainly is a lot of fun. You don't want to be on the opposite end of some of those barbs from time to time, but, you know, it's fun.
For the people that don't know what happens, I was really taught a lot by how Marty Schottenheimer helped frame the mentality of the team. When he came in 1989, we had to reverse a losing mentality. And on Wednesday, when he went through the game plan, and again when he repeated the game plan on Saturday morning, it was incredibly important how he focused the team on what were the key themes, what was our message.
Right.
And you notice that with the Chargers, that the players will be consistent in the themes that are important, and they don't provide that locker room bulletin board stuff like other teams do that frankly happened this week with Dallas and the New York Giants.
You know the other thing, though, is, Nick, I think, and you know, we can talk about philosophies of the way coaches treat people, but I think a lot of times it's the people that you're working with. It's the people that you choose to be on your football team. It's the people that I know a lot of coaches go into character studies on these players before they draft them or before they trade for them or before they try to pick them up in free agency. They check these players out to find out, you know, as much as they can, as much as you can, look inside someone. You know, what kind of person am I getting? So if you have quality people, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson, Phillip Rivers, in leadership positions, I think there is a likely, you know, a trickle-down effect so that the rest of the team sees the superstars on the team handle themselves like this. LaDainian Tomlinson works harder than anybody else, stays after practice, does all these things in order to be the player that he is. Well, who am I as the, you know, second string left guard to not do those same things? And I think oftentimes the character of your team stems from, yes, the head coach, but it's the people you have on the team and oftentimes the leadership that you have on it. You know, I mean, Michael Strahan, I know Michael Strahan, and he, you know, he is a good guy. I think he's a good guy.
I do too.
He's in a town that everything you say garners focus, and I think you have to be very careful about what you say. Because the media there is like no other media in the world. It's the largest market, I know, for the NFL in the United States. So you say something, it's going to get heard. I was a bit surprised that, you know, it was couched the way it was by Michael, but I knew exactly from being in a similar position, I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant.
And I think as former players, don't you think, Tom, both of us at some level feel some gratification to have a player be able to articulate it the way
that's
he did,
right.
Even if it was emotional,
right.
Even if you could say it was intimidating to a female journalist, he still said some things that you wish were said a little bit more often. And here's Michael Wilbon again on the New York media, because I had to deal with that in the midst of a losing streak that was almost a world record with the Jets. So I wanted to see what you had to say about this.
Okay. Somebody. But it's a different critical column than is going to be written in New York. That's just the way of the world. It's the way of New York City. You and I have talked a million times, and I've told you, I'd love to be in New York City. I would not want to work in New York City for some of the reasons we're talking about now. But it's our job to be, if we're being, Michael Strahan is 100% right about this. If we're being positive when a team has lost three straight, when they've got injuries, when they're sniping at each other, and by the way, they have high-profile players who are in the media. Michael Strahan has his own show.
He's got his own radio show.
On his own radio show and his own. He's on television, and he's great at it. He's terrific at it. So Michael has these two sensitivities.
Michael has these two sensitivities. Kiki Barger has two sensitivities that lends them to understand this, but at the same time, maybe they also have to take some responsibility that when they do have these big shows, that people are going to automatically look to them and what they say.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah, Nick, I think you have to be careful about not necessarily, because, you know, I believe that everybody ought to speak their mind. You ought to say the truth. Speak what you feel. But a lot of times, oftentimes, the manner in which you couch those comments and the way that they are going to be perceived by listeners or viewers, I think is important. If Michael had really thought about the comments, and I'm sure he did, and I'm glad he articulated what he did, but he also had to know that there were going to be some ramifications because of what he said. Now, I don't necessarily look at those as negative. I don't look at it as a negative if I can bring to the attention of a guy who I feel might not, on a given play, have given his all. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. But when the press gets a hold of it and the media gets a hold of it and you take it and you run with it and you know where it's going in New York media, then you know, it becomes... It can become a distraction for the team. It can also be, we know this from playing, it can also become a rallying point for the team. We're going to find out pretty quickly.
We are, and in fact, I believe that this is a make-or-break game for the Giants, and I, for one, predict the Giants will rise up and beat the Cowboys this weekend. They've got to. When we come back, let's talk about Michael Vick and the same kind of pressures that are on him as well.
Okay.
We're talking with one of the more thoughtful people covering sports, Jacked Up! Tom Jackson from ESPN. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.